Welcome to Washington Defender Grassroots. I'm Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington Action, and we are going to have a great time today just diving into what can we be doing in the public square. And so we have a special guest for you, a meet and greet the candidate. We're going to bring him on in just a few moments, but I've been asked many times, what are we supposed to be doing? So right now we do have our signatures going out on three initiatives that we are recommending that you take a look at. And so we have an election integrity initiative. There's one about boys and girls sports and parental rights. And so those are locations all across our state. I want to encourage you to get a hold of these if you're not in the Washington Defender app to pick them up there and be a part. We're also asking people to adopt a voter. And so if you haven't adopted 10 voters yet, you know, find those 20-year-olds, those 30-year-olds, get their cell phone, you know, follow up with them, because ballots will be coming out very shortly. And we need to remind them to vote. Oftentimes what I find with the younger generation, and sometimes even 50, 60, 70-year-olds who haven't voted, is they don't know how to, you know, put the envelope in here, put the envelope out there, sign this, do that. The other thing is, if you really want to see, we need legal ballot harvesting, which is host a voting party. And, you know, throw some steaks on the barbecue or some hamburgers, invite a bunch of people over, have some discussion about candidates, and it will be a great time. So our last thing, which ties us into our special guest today, is meet and greet the candidate. Whether they're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Libertarian, we want you to meet them. And inside this resource, there's great questions to figure out, do they align with your worldview? And so I want to encourage you to just check that out. It's the meet and greet the candidate. All this is on fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org's websites. And we get to meet a candidate today. Now, I always say this, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Libertarian, we invite everyone on. We want to meet every single candidate. So you're always welcome to be on the Defender Grassroots Show. And just love to have you. Today's guest is Mr. Mike Kelly. And Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
I'm sorry. I probably should say Michael, because I saw you put that all up that way. I do apologize. So, Michael, welcome. We've talked before, and you know, I don't know that we're best friends, but we definitely know each other and know a little bit about each other. But in case our audience doesn't know you, I want to encourage you to introduce us. But before I do that, nothing in this recording is a endorsement of the candidate, nor the candidate's endorsement of FPIW or FPIW Action. So, Michael, introduce yourself to us.
Yeah, so I'm a resident of the Valley for about 6 years now. I moved here from the Portland, Oregon area back in 2019 and got involved pretty much immediately, even though COVID was going on. And so that's kind of how you and I became acquainted, through our mutual involvement in the Spokane County GOP. So just been active in the community, getting to know people. About a year ago, well, let me back up. I'll say, so I'm the controller and CFO of a construction company that does contracting on public transportation projects. I've been doing that for about 30 years. And so I'm a numbers guy. I know budgets, I know job costing, I know government contracting, taxes, financials, all those wonderful things that most people don't get to the pleasure of experiencing. But it's part of my background. I also have been a property owner, both commercial and residential, for about 25, 30 years, and manage those. And also have owned a number of businesses, from a salon and day spa to an insurance company to a trucking outfit to a loan company and a diesel repair shop. So my life experience and my business experience is pretty diverse. And it's one reason why I feel I'm well qualified to step into this position, because I have a great deal of world experience. And to add to that, I've also had some political experience over the last few years. When a former Senator Mike Padden decided to retire at the beginning of 2024, he looked around for a potential replacement. And I guess amongst his circle of friends, my name came on his radar. He and I had a number of conversations, and he agreed to endorse me if I would agree to run for his position, which I did. Had a great time doing it. Unfortunately, I came up about 200 votes short in the primary. Wow. To the eventual winner, Leonard Christian. And but through that process, was able to meet again a ton of people, get even further involved in the community. And so when the seat came open on the city council, or is coming open here at the end of the year when Rod Higgins steps down, I thought it was a natural fit, since I'm already on the planning commission. and I have relationships with city staff as well as the other council members. And so based on, again, my political, business, and personal life experience, feel I'm more qualified to step in and hit the ground running.
That is excellent. So it sounds like you've ran for office and you've had a lot of experience in business and in somewhat in government. And so that is important. What do you hope to accomplish while you're in office?
Well, my priorities are the ones that I've heard getting out and meeting the citizens in the community. Probably number one is public safety. There's just a general sense that, we could be, that our quality of life could be in jeopardy just through homelessness, a rise in crime, just a general lack of respect for authority. And so the citizens want to make sure that we have enough officers on the street to just keep the peace and make sure that if something happens, that they'll have someone to respond to them in a reasonable amount of time. The good news is that we're well on our way to achieving that. As you may be aware, the city voted here back in August during the primary to increase our sales tax by a small amount. And that should be bringing in about $2 to $2.5 million a year to our general budget. And so that amount has been committed to hiring some additional police officers. So I want to be on the board to make sure, the council to make sure that that happens. And our single biggest expense in the city is our contract with the sheriff's office to provide our police services. So I want to make sure we're getting the best value possible by digging into that contract and making sure that all of the things that we're getting charged for are disclosed and are reasonably associated with the services provided here in the Valley. Some other things that I've heard at the doors is just making sure that we're making good decisions when it comes to our transportation projects. So we've had a couple of ones out here that have been controversial over the last few years. So I've listened to people and understand their concerns. And so we need to evaluate all of our projects in terms of necessity as well as affordability, given our overall budget constraints. And there's been a little bit of contention on the council amongst council members also over the last couple of years. And I feel like I'm acquainted with all of the individuals and their various supporters. And I feel like it can facilitate some constructive dialogue, kind of tone down the rhetoric a little bit, and maybe take a pause so that we can actually get down to the important business of the city. Personally, what I'd also like to see is a little bit of a vision for Spokane Valley to be developed. I have no real criticism of our city leadership, especially not our staff. We have a lot of well-intentioned, experienced, and capable individuals working for the city. But I don't know that we've had a vision as to how we want to grow and develop. And so within the context of the restrictions or the mandates that are being put upon us by Olympia and the things that they're passing, we still have some control to decide how we grow and what our community looks like. And so one of the areas I want to concentrate on is the Sprague Corridor, where we have a lot of vacant and or underdeveloped properties. And I'd like to figure out a way to bring the community players together, all the stakeholders, the city, the developers, the chamber, some of the business associations, to decide how we go about encouraging development there, because we do have to grow. And as you probably are aware, the Growth Management Act that we passed here in Washington way back in the 90s requires that we have a comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm. We, the city, are currently in the process of updating that. So it's a great time to visit those questions and incorporate those ideas into our comprehensive plan so that we can, again, decide how we're going to grow as a community.
Awesome. You know, you hit on a couple of things. At FPIW and FPIW Action, we try to look at everything through the lens of a biblical worldview. And of course, the Bible talks about safety for its citizens and punishing evil. That's the two primary roles of government. And we throw in, and shared resources. It's not necessarily real loud in the Bible, but I think it's assumed that certain things like transportation, roads, fire departments, those kind of things are assumed that the government would provide those things. How do you see, there's been some, I don't know what I want to say about leadership. I want to say, what skill sets do you bring? I'll just do it this way. What skill sets do you think you bring? Like, I hear accounting, I hear numbers, I hear detail. Like, what are those skill sets that you bring to this council? I'll do it that way.
Well, again, I think you kind of touched on it when you say attention to detail. I consider myself a little bit, outside the norm. I'm very meticulous and I do pay attention to detail. And since I have such a vast amount of experience, when someone is proposing a change or proposing some sort of action, I feel like I have a natural ability to, excuse me, to understand how that's going to impact other areas. Right. So, I mean, just a simple example might be, you know, we're talking about creating working with a patron out here to develop an ice facility, which is a great idea. It sounds like we've got some good opportunity to get a low cost additional attraction for the families out here and another amenity. But, you know, my natural question would be, okay, well, you know, how does that impact our risk profile? Is that going to impact anything that we have in terms of our insurance, or are there other costs? What about the surrounding properties? Are we going to impact them and the current uses? And are we considering that as we go about developing? And so, as you probably were well aware, when government takes action, there's often some unintended consequences. So one of the things that I like to do is really think deeply about what those could be, and to make sure that we ask the proper questions up front before we're committed to something and spend money that may ultimately prove not to be the best idea. The other thing is I feel like I'm a good communicator. I care about the community, and so I'm really looking to facilitate or to enhance the type of communication that the city has with the citizens. We have a community night once a month here, about an hour before council starts, where we invite the public to come out and talk to city staff and to talk to the council. I'd like to expand that, and I'd also like to include some open houses or town halls at the at City Hall, maybe once a quarter, where we have a couple of hours just to sit down and answer questions about upcoming projects or things that are going on. So, you know, just having that focus, I feel, is an advantage as well. And then, again, just being a peacemaker on the council, just facilitating discussions and not being afraid to reach out to people and just say, you know, what are your thoughts? Here's what I'm thinking. Explain your position to me so I can understand, and explain it to others so we can come together and have mutual decision making.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I ran Peacemaker Ministries for a number of years. And it's one of those things where when it comes, there's some things that are, you know, are closed fist, but most things are very open handed, you know, and we have to be willing to negotiate and find areas of agreement. And so it's very important to it. I often tell people, you know, really in that close fist, Jesus should be the only thing that you're kind of wrapping your hand around. Everything else, you got to have some conversations to figure out the degree thereof. So when you talk about those relational things of bringing people together and negotiating, like, can you tell us a story of how you negotiated something, or just something, just to give us a little bit of background on you on that?
Well, I mean, I think probably the most, you know, relevant is just my conversations that I've had now with both sides of the current split in the council. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are, you know, we have Al Merkel, who is a newer member of the board, and he's kind of been a disruptor, I guess, for lack of a better term. And he has some supporters who have been critical of the council members. And then, of course, we have the other council members on the other side, which have sort of over time have aligned as an opposition to some of his ideas and certainly his antics. And they have their supporters, and they get up and speak. And I've had conversations with both sides. I understand kind of where they're coming from. I know that they're not necessarily looking to, you know, to cause trouble or to be contentious, but they do want to be heard. And I think they do have concerns that they'd like to see addressed. And so I've been able to have conversations with both sides. Mm-hmm. And I've been criticized for that, because some people feel like I should automatically not be friendly with people that, you know, they have a reason to, you know, be angry with or to have disdain for. But I feel, you know, based on my background and my life experience, everyone has something to offer. And, you know, there are people that, I mean, as you and I both know, that evil does exist in the world. There are people who are evil, but I think for the most part, people just want to be heard and just want to have a conversation. So that's been an example where I think I've managed to step up to the microphone at some council meetings and just encourage us to be worthy of the blessings that we seek as a community by showing the, you know, a love for our fellow citizen that mm-hmm. I think that God and Jesus would like us to do.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. What are some of the principles that you filter decision-making through?
Well, certainly the U.S. Constitution and the principles mm-hmm. upon which it's founded. I mean, so, you know, as the GOP, we have faith, family, freedom. And so the first thing I ask anytime someone proposes something is, you know, is this constitutional? Would be is this something in line with those basic principles of liberty, self-reliance, and personal responsibility? The next thing I would ask is, why are we doing this? Why is this necessary? Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe in change just for the sake of change, and I don't believe in progress. So, in quotes, for the sake of progress, I believe that we have traditions and we have principles that we've lived by that have served us well, and so there's a reason that we, cling to those or conserve the status quo. But if changes are necessary, if there's things that we need to do, then I just want to be convinced that it's a good idea, that it's necessary, that we've talked to the people that will be impacted by it and the people that are in the trenches, so to speak, where the rubber meets the road, and say, is this a solution that you believe will actually work, given your experience with the hands-on, part of the equation? And then, of course, there's always the question of money and whether or not it's something that the citizens actually want, because I don't believe in imposing the will of the rulers upon the citizens. I mean, we're here to represent them. And so we should understand their principles, understand their priorities, and then bring those forth in the context of government.
There seems to be some, I'll say it mildly, ideological divide between Olympia and a lot of the local cities, right? I don't know how else to describe that. How do you foresee handling that tension and or conflict?
Well, I mean, as I explained when I ran for Senate, I just feel like I need to ask a lot of questions. I won't be, this position or this position won't put me in a position to actually have direct conversations with a lot of our leaders in Olympia, but we can set our legislative agenda as a city, and we do have governmental affairs individuals who will have those conversations, and we do have our local elected officials that we can talk to. Mm-hmm. But it's really just it's about conversations, and if we have an ideological difference, then my is just like, why is this a good idea? Why do you believe this is the proper solution? And so you're either going to have a conversation and come to some sort of understanding, or they're going to expose themselves as pure ideologues who are unwilling to have a discussion. And then at least you know what you're dealing with. But I don't believe, I do believe in compromise, but I don't believe in betraying our fundamental principles,
right?
Which, are the ones that we've kind of touched on.
Yeah. Any closing remarks that you'd like to give? Maybe why people should vote for you? How do they check you out and get more information on you? Maybe your website, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a website, mikeforwa.com. That's mikeforwa.com. So you can read more about my story. If you want to see what I'm currently up to and stay up to date on my activities, I have a Facebook page, Mike Kelly for Washington. Really appreciate if you just go there, follow that, like that. That's something very small and simple that is actually impactful and can make a difference by raising my profile. To answer your question about why I'm qualified, I've touched on all my experience. Again, I sit on the planning commission. I have some of these relationships already established. I understand how the city functions and the process by which our legislation is brought forth. And I've already been involved in a lot of the topics that we would be addressing. So I can hit the ground running. I can fill the seat, and I am a strong individual who can push back against some of those mandates that Olympia is putting on us. And I'm not afraid to have to have a fight if it's worth it, if it's necessary, if it's appropriate. You have to pick your battles, and we have to follow the law. But that doesn't mean we necessarily have to acquiesce to everything that's being sent our direction. And so by pushing back through conversation, pushing back through our governmental affairs representatives, and just doing what we can to maintain control here locally. I didn't mention before, but I think it's important to know, part of my vision for the city is, attracting good quality citizens that will be stable residents. And so I want to be able to work with the schools to make sure that we have good schools that people want to come to. I want to have safe streets, and we want good jobs, and we want good amenities. And those three or four things together will attract good quality residents as we continue to grow and can help contribute to a stable community.
All right. Say your website one more time just so they can hear it.
Yeah, mikeforwa.com. mikeforwa.com.
All right, Mike, I'm going to send you back to the green room. I'll be right back there with you in just a moment. Thank you for being on Defender Grassroots today.
Thank you, Brian.
Again, if you're just joining us, I want to encourage you to go back to that interview. It's very intriguing to hear about Michael Kelly's desire to be on the Spokane Valley City Council, and he just has a heart to serve his citizens. Nothing in this video is considered an endorsement of the candidate, nor the candidate's endorsement of FPIW or FPIW Action. Again, we're asking you to meet and greet the candidates. You got to be an informed voter. So go out there and meet and greet them and then host that voting party so you can help your friends who didn't take the time to meet and greet to really find their knowledge about what the candidates are all about. So hope you have a great day and we'll check back in on our next interview.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.